بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the ever merciful, the bestower of mercy. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all that exists. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafi khalqihi ajma'in. And may He raise the rank of the finest of His creation, Nabiyyina Muhammadin, our Prophet Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi, and that of his family and companions, wa sallama tasliman kathira, and may he grant them all an abundance of peace. Amma ba'd, as for what follows, then due to the grace of Allah and his blessing upon us, we have gathered back here at Al-Masjid Al-Awwal at the very beginning of the month of Sha'ban, the eve preceding the first of Sha'ban, or maybe it's the second of Sha'ban, I'm not sure at this point. 1 month before the blessed month of Ramadan, Allahu Akbar. We've gathered here, and it's the year 1436, to study the final closing verses of Surah Al-Waqi'ah in this, our seventh session of reading from the tafsir of the great scholar, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So returning to that printed tafsir on page 350, we say, picking up with the 83rd verse, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ. Allah Ta'ala, after discussing, or after reminding mankind to think about different matters in his life, the firewood that he collects, the water that he drinks, the semen that he emits, and all of these kinds of matters, think about them and think about how the blessing of Allah Ta'ala has reached you, and think if they were taken away, then who would give you these blessings and so on. Inviting mankind to turn their acts of worship solely to Him, the Mighty and Majestic, He says, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ. Then He reminds mankind, as He reminded mankind earlier of His beginning with semen fluid, now He reminds mankind with His end, with the last moments of His worldly life, when the soul reaches the larynx, or the windpipe, right? The hulqum is the larynx. And there is no mention of a fa'al in the sentence. إِذَا بَلَغَتْ, if it reaches the hulqum, or فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ, if it were not that, or only if, when it reaches the windpipe, and the it here, the Shaykh is going to explain, أي الروح, a person's soul. والذي يعين المرجع هنا السياق, that which clarifies what that pronoun is referring to is the context. كما في قول الله تعالى, أو في قول الله تبارك وتعالى, as is in the statements of Allah, the Blessed and Most High, فقال إني أحببت حب الخير عن ذكر ربي حتى توارت بالحجاب. And this is the statement of Sulaiman ibn Dawood, عليه وعلى أبيه الصلاة والسلام, when he called upon Allah in regret and in sadness about being being amused by the horses that he was watching until the sun had set, and he said حتى توارت بالحجاب, all the way until it was covered, or it was covered up, meaning until the sun was below the horizon. And there's no mention of the word shams, but it's obvious from the context that it is Salat al-Asr that was not offered until the sun actually set. And so the Shaykh says, Ay ash-shams, meaning the sun. وَلَمْ يَسْبِقْ لَهَا ذِكْرٌ, and there's no mention of the sun previously. And the point is here that pronouns are normally only mentioned after the noun has been mentioned, right? And if you don't do that, some people, this is considered bad speech sometimes, or usually when someone says you're playing the pronoun game. If I said to you, now did you see him? And because we're not talking about a certain man, then the communication here is not effective. So you have to say, what do you mean, him, who is he? So communication is not effective in most circumstances when a pronoun is used without having been preceded by a noun. So, but there are exceptions to that when the context, clearly indicates it to you. When you say, oh, he is my Lord and I only worship him. I'm a Muslim and we're in the masjid. who else would I be talking about? Right? So the context here, the situation, all of that guides you to understand the meaning behind what I'm saying. So here, if only when it reaches the hulqum, what reaches the hulqum? Very serious matter. It is the soul exiting the body. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Tayyib. Walakin as-siyaq yadullu ala dhalik. And so the Shaykh is saying that the context indicates or proves this. فَمَرْجِعُ الضَّمِيرُ. So the pronoun goes back to, or it refers to a noun. تَارَةً يَكُونُ مَذْكُورًا. Sometimes that noun has been mentioned. وَتَارَةً يَكُونُ مَعْلُومًا. And sometimes it is just known by the context. إِمَّا بِالسِّيَاقِ. Either by the context. أو إِمَّا بِشَيْءٍ آخَرٍ. Or by some other means. وَالْحُلْقُومِ. And the word حُلْقُومِ. When it reaches the حُلْقُومِ. What's the حُلْقُومِ? هُوَ مَجْرَى النَّفَسِ. It is the pathway of air, right? So when I said larynx, the larynx is part of the trachea, am I right? The larynx is the upper part of the trachea. Am I good with that? Yeah? How do you say it?
Larynx.
Larynx. Okay. Larynx is the upper part of the trachea. The windpipe is a long one. It goes all the way down into the bronchi? The bronchi that reach into the lungs, right? And then it comes all the way up to the throat. So at this point, the upper point, you're going to see from the passage, or from other Quranic passages, how that is identified as al-hulqum. The Shaykh says, وَفِي جَانِبِ الرَّقَبَةِ الْأَسْفَلِ. At the lower part of the neck, the lower part of the neck, right? Majrayan, there are two pathways. Majra ta'ami wa sharab. There is the pathway of eating or food and drink. What's that called? The esophagus. The esophagus that becomes part of the digestive system, right? Wa yusamma al-mari. That's called in Arabic the mari. This gets to be important technology when you get into the fiqh of slaughtering and what kind of things you must slaughter or cut when you do the slaughter properly. So the mari is the esophagus, and it's the pathway of the food and drink. Wa majra an-nafas. The other pathway is the windpipe. Wa huwa al-hulqum. It's the larynx, right? Larynx, pronounced as that, larynx. Wa huwa ibaratun an kharazatin da'iriyya layyina munfatiha. It is like tubes, or a tube that has tiny little openings that are soft and they remain open. أَمَّا الْمَرِيءُ فَإِنَّهُ بِالْعَكْسِ. As for the esophagus, it's the opposite. It's one tunnel, right? فَإِنَّهُ كَوَاحِدٍ مِنَ الْأَمْعَاءِ. It's like part of the stomach. It's like, in terms of its structure, it's like part of the stomach. وَوَجْهُ ذَلِكَ أَنَّ مَجْرَ النَّفَسِ. And that is that the windpipe, لَابُدَّ أَن يَكُونَ مَفْتُوحًا. It must remain so that there is a pathway there, open. لِأَنَّ النَّفَسَ لَوْ كَانَ مَجْرَاهُ مُغْلَقًا. Because if the wind, or the air, the breathing, the pathway of breathing were to be closed, لَكَانَ تَنَفُّسُ شَدِيدًا. Then breathing would become difficult. لَكِنْ بِرَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ هَذَا مِثْرَ الْأُنْبُوبِ. Due to the mercy of Allah, He made this windpipe like an actual pipe. لَكِنَّهُ لَيِّن. However, it's very soft. خَرَزَاتْ مُسْتَدِيرًا. Having small circular pathways or round pathways that go down. حَتَّى يُهَوِّنُ عَلَى الْمَرِيءِ رَفْعَ رَأْسِهِ. عَلَى الْمَرْءِ, عَفْوًا. حَتَّى يُهَوِّنَ عَلَى الْمَرْءِ رَفْعَ رَأْسِهِ وَخَفْضِهِ. So this makes it easy on a person for him to raise and lower his head. أَمَّا الْمَرِيءِ. As for the esophagus, فَهُوَ مِثْلُ الْأَمْعَاءِ الْعَادِيَةِ. Like a regular part of the stomach or the digestive system. وَالطَّعَامُ وَالشَّرَابُ قَوِيٌّ يَفْتَحُهُ عِنْدَ النُّزُولِ إِلَيْهِ. And the food and drink, they have some strength as they go down, and they open up the esophagus as it goes down, based on the need. وَذَكَرَ اللَّهُ الْحُلْقُومِ. And Allah mentioned the windpipe here, or the larynx, دون المري, without mentioning the esophagus. لأن الحقوم مجرى النفس. Because the larynx is, or you can say the entire trachea, is the pathway of breathing. وَبِنْقِطَاعِهِ يَمُوتُ الْإِنسَانِ And if it is cut off, then a person dies. If that pathway is cut off, a person dies. فَإِذَا بَلَغَتِ الرُّوحُ الْحُلْقُومَ So when the soul reaches this حُلْقُوم, the larynx, وَهِيَ صَاعِدَ مِنْ أَسْفَلِ الْبَدَنِ And it's coming up from the lower parts of the body. وَإِلَى هَذَا الْمَوْضَعِ When it comes to this place, حِينَئِذٍ At this time, تَنْقَطِعُ الْعَلَائِقُ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا All relationships with the dunya are severed. Right? وَيَعْرِفُ الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّهُ أَقْبَلَ عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ And so a man knows, a person knows in this situation that he is now facing his hereafter, or the hereafter. وَانْتَهَى مِنَ الدُّنْيَا And he knows that the worldly life for him is over. Subhanallah. I wanted to mention, there's an easier similar Quranic passage that has this pronoun without the noun mentioned before it in the same context. And it is in Surah Al-Qiyamah. Kalla idha balagati taraqi. Right? Talking about the soul again. If the soul reaches the ribs. Or I'm sorry, the ribs, the taraqi, the turquwa. The clavicle. If the soul comes up and reaches the clavicle, or the upper the shoulder bone and so on, huh? If the soul reaches that time, or that place. So there is in that short verse, كَلَّا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ التَّرَاقِي Saying the same thing, إِذَا بَلَغَتْ what? إِذَا بَلَغَتْ الرُّوحِ التَّرَاقِي Again, the same idea here, the collarbone, the clavicle, we call it the clavicle, collarbone. The bones at the top of the neck. Same area as the larynx, right? So in one passage, Allah refers to the soul going up through the collarbone, and in one passage, through the windpipe. And it all goes to that same area. At this point right here, that's where the soul, when it reaches that point, a person knows that's the end of his life. And a person has that moment in this life where he realizes now the hereafter is coming for him. As the scholars say, at this point as well, Tawbah is not accepted. Repentance from a person is not accepted. Why? Because at this point he has absolute certainty that there is just death in front of him. It's as if now the rulings of the hereafter begin for him and no more repentance is acceptable at this time. May Allah Ta'ala make us from those who repent before that time. Fayyid. وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ And Allah describes what happens at this time. And you, at this time, you are looking about. At this time, when the soul is coming up through the larynx, you are looking about. أي تنظرون إلى الميت. You're looking at the dying person. وما يعانيه من المشاق والسكرات. And you see the kind of difficulty he's facing and the pains or the delusions of death. ولا تستطيعون أن تردوا ذلك عنه. And you're not able to do anything to repel that from him. Right? ولو كنتم أقرب قريبا إليه. Even if you are the closest of relatives to him, وَأَحَبَّ حَبِيبٍ إِلَيْهِ or the most beloved person to him, فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَقْدِرُ أَحَدٌ عَلَى مَنْعِ الرُّوحِ إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ As no person is able at that time to prevent his soul from leaving once it reaches his collarbone or once it reaches his larynx. وَنَحْنُ أَقَرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ And we are closer to him than you. يعني or closer to it than you. يعني أن الله تعالى أقرب إلى الحلقوم. The meaning here is that Allah is closer to the حلقوم, to that body part, that larynx, than even you. من أهله, from his family that is around him. Right? ولكن المراد أقرب بملائكته. However, the intended meaning here, as the Sheikh says, is He is closer through the closeness and presence of his angels. This is to dispel the idea that Allah is present in his creation and that he is intending himself that he is the one physically close at that time. Right? And another passage of the Quran in Surah Qaf, alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبَلِ الْوَرِيدِ And we are closer to him than his jugular vein. Allah describes himself saying, and we are closer to him than his jugular vein. And then, as many of the scholars of tafsir say, it is not the closeness of Allah himself with his actual presence, but it is the closeness of his angels by his order. And that is by the proof of the very next verse, إِذْ يَتَلَقَّى الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ الشِّمَالِ قَعِيدٍ. When the two receiving angels take their place or take the soul, and they sit on the right and the left. They sit on the right and the left. Those are the 16th and 17th verses of Surah Qaf. So some of the scholars, they say the closeness that Allah has attributed to himself is the closeness of his angels. However, it's important to say here as well that that is one meaning of the passage, that it is indeed the angels there to take the soul, and they are there by the order of Allah. So when Allah says, we are closer, then that is part of the meaning. However, there's a bigger part of the meaning here that we don't want to lose, and that it is Allah being there, being with that person through his hearing, through his seeing, and through his knowledge. And no place escapes the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala. And we say that Allah is with people. We say that Allah is on earth with his hearing, and in every place through his hearing. We say that Allah Ta'ala, bidatihi, with his actual self, is above his throne as he has described himself. Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa, the most merciful has ascended above his throne. But through his hearing and through his knowledge, he is in every place, right? Through his knowledge and through his hearing, but not with his actual presence. Tayyib. Allah Ta'ala has said either, and also describing Allah Ta'ala as being close, is it, Allah Ta'ala himself is described as being close, even with him being above his entire creation, above all the layers of the heavens, above his mighty throne, above all of that. We do not assume from that, then we say, then Allah is described as ba'id, and Allah is described as being far away, right? We say instead, rather, with all of that that we mentioned, Allah is described as being qareeb, and we have no evidence to describe Allah with being ba'id, with being far. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala has said, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي, and if your servants ask you about me, فَإِنِّي قَرِيب, then verily I am qareeb, I am close. How is Allah close? Let Allah explain. What does he say right after telling you that he's qareeb? Listen to what he says. He says, أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ, I answer the call of every supplicant when he supplicates. So what's the meaning of this closeness of Allah? Answers to supplications, hearing the supplication, knowing the needs of his servants. Allah Ta'ala is close through those matters. So don't go into deviation, as some people who ascribe to Islam would go and say, these texts prove that Allah is actually on earth, or Allah is within his creation, and Allah is close. How can he be close? How can he be closer than your jugular vein if he's above his heavens, above his throne? This is what they say, right? So the answer is what? He is closer than your jugular vein. He is closer to you than that. And he is described as being close in all situations through his knowledge, through his hearing, through his order, through his seeing and all of that. But not with his that, not with his actual presence. Very important. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he supplicated to Allah Ta'ala, he used to say, wa anta zahiru, falaysa fawqaka shay', and you are the zahir, the most, the uppermost, with nothing above you. Wa anta al-batin laysa dunaka shay', falaysa dunaka shay', and you are also what? The closest one, and nothing closer than, and there is nothing closer than you. And that is from the supplication of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he used to say, addressing Allah Ta'ala, as collected by Al-Imam Muslim in his Sahih. And that gives you the understanding of two of the names of Allah, the Zahir and the Batin. He is Al-Awwalu wal-Akhiru wal-Zahiru wal-Batin, right? He is the uppermost with none above him, being the highest, the most lofty, with none above him, and he is the closest, right? The closest to you with none closer than him in his closeness, right? And that closeness is again what? The closeness of his knowledge. Very important to understand. Tayyib. لأنه, here's the Shaykh explaining why he says that the closeness of Allah in this case being described is the closeness of his angels, which does not go against what we've said, but this is the tafsir the Shaykh is choosing out of the two tafsirs that are both possible to affirm together. We say the closeness of Allah is the closeness of Allah through his knowledge and the closeness of his angels who are there by his order to collect the soul, and so on. So closeness from these two angles is both established for Allah. No need to say we must pick one or the other, but both are acceptable tafsirs. The Shaykh here does not accept the second tafsir in this passage, that which is accepted by other scholars. He says, Wallahu ta'ala yulifu shay' ila nafsihi. I'm sorry, he says before that, وَلِهَذَا قَالَ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. The very next verse is, however you don't see me, or you don't see, you don't see, however you do not see, the 85th verse. وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى يُلِيفَ الشَّيْءِ إِلَى نَفْسِهِ. Allah Ta'ala mentions something attributed to himself, إِذَا قَامَتْ بِهِ مَلَائِكَتُهُ, if his angels are carrying out that order. لِأَنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ رُسُلُهُ عَلَيْهِمْ السَّلَامُ, because the angels, they are his messengers, peace be upon them. وَلَيْسَ هَذَا مِنْ بَابِ تَحْرِيفِ الْكَلِمِ عَنْ مَوَاضِعِهِ, and this is not a kind of twisting the tafsir or twisting the words away from their meanings, right? Because you find that the people who call themselves Ash'ari, the people who call themselves Jahmi, or even worse, the people who are Batini, they'll tell you that the meaning of it is not really what is obvious, it's something else which is hidden. And so this might resemble that kind of tafsir a little bit, however it is within the siyaq, it is within the context, that when Allah Ta'ala describes closeness to himself, he mentions at the time of death, as we'll see, in the context of the angels there to collect the souls. So it is not a baseless kind of tafsir or ta'wil going away from the most apparent meaning. وَلَكِنَّهُ مِنْ بَابِ تَفْسِيرِ الشَّيْءِ بِمَا يَقْتَضِيهِ السِّيَاقِ. It is from the angle of giving tafsir to something with what the context leads you to understand. لِأَنَّهُ رُبَّمَا يَقُولُ قَائِلٌ. A person might say, in the ظاهر الآية, the most apparent meaning of the verse, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ, and we are closer to it, the حُلْقُمْ, the windpipe, than you, I, or أَنَّ الْأَقْرَبَ هُوَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. They may understand that it is Allah himself, the mighty and majestic, that is closest, right? And here, he means that Allah, the actual presence of Allah. He doesn't mean to negate the presence of the knowledge of Allah. فَلِمَاذَا تُحَرِّفُونَهُ. So they would say, those who have assumed it is the actual presence of Allah that is close, they would say, why are you twisting or going away from the original or apparent meanings? فَنَحْنُ وَفَنَقُولُ نَحْنُ لَا نُحَرِّفُهَا. We say we do not twist the meanings. بَلْ فَسَّرْنَاهَا بِمَا يَقْتَضِيهِ ظَاهِرُهَا. We have merely explained it with what is in line with the most apparent context. إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَالَ, as Allah has said, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. And we are closer to it than you, closer to his windpipe than you, however you don't see. وَهَذَا يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ هَذَا الْقَرِيبِ. This shows that this close being, فِي نَفْسَ الْمَكَانِ, in this very place, وَلَكِنْ, is in this very place, أَفْوَانِ, وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُهُ, however you don't see it. وَهَذَا يُعَيَّنْ, هذا يعين أن يكون المراد قرب الملائكة. This indicates that the intended closeness is the closeness of the angels. لاستحالة ذلك في حق الله تعالى. Due to the impossibility of that being attributed to Allah. And here he means by بذاته, by Allah's actual presence. He doesn't mean to say it's impossible for the knowledge of Allah to be close to someone. حاشا. That is not what he intended. And his words could have been revised here to be absolutely clear on that topic. However, we know that the Shaykh intended that meaning. وَأَيْضًا فَإِنَّ الْقُرْبَ مُقَيَّدٌ بِحَالَ الْإِحْتِضَارِ. And another situational or contextual evidence is that the closeness is mentioned specifically tied to the time of death or the time of dying. وَلَذِي يَحْضُرُ الْمَيِّتِ عند موته. And who is it that is present with the dead person or the dying person at the time of his death? هم الملائكة. They are the angels. لقوله تعالى حتى إذا جاء أحدكم الموت. All the way until one of you has death come to him. توفته رسلنا. Our messengers take him. وهم لا يفرطون. And they do not waste, or they do not they are not wasters. The 61st verse of Surah Al-An'am. فإن قيل كيف يضيف الله الشيء إلى نفسه والمراد الملائكة. If a person asked, how is it that Allah has attributed something to himself, saying, we are close, and the meaning is really the angels, why is that? قلنا, the response, we say, لا غرابة في ذلك. There is no strangeness in that. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُضِيفُ الشَّيْءَ إِلَى نَفْسِهِ وَهُوَ مِنْ فِعْلِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ لِأَنَّهُمْ رُسُلُهُ. Because Allah attributes things to himself that are the actions of the angels because they are his messengers. فَفِعْلُهُمْ فِعْلُهُ. So their actions are his actions. In parentheses, they don't do a single thing except Allah has ordered them to do that thing. They are not agents of free will like human beings. They are ordered to do things and they fulfill those orders and that's it. So there is no angel acting on his own doing things except that he does everything that has been commanded by Allah Ta'ala. So it's by right that the Shaykh says, فَفِعْلُهُمْ فِعْلُهُ. So their actions are his action. The actions of the angels are the actions of Allah. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَىٰ قَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكْ وَتَعَالَىٰ. Haven't you seen the statements of Allah, the Blessed and Most High? لَا تُحَرِّكْ بِهِ لِسَانَكَ لِتَعْجَلَ بِهِ. Do not, speaking to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not move your tongue with it, meaning with the Qur'an, in a hasty way, meaning to memorize it from Jibreel who would recite it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا جَمْعَهُ وَقُرْآنَهُ. It is upon us that we gather it and that we read it. فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ. So when we read it, فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَهُ. Then follow its recitation. So Allah says, فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ. Right? When we read it. And the reading is the reading of who? Clearly, contextually, historically, factually, it's Jibreel. By the order of Allah. Jibreel did not read the Qur'an by his own choice, by his own decision, but rather he was sent by Allah Ta'ala, ordered by Allah Ta'ala to do that. Right? طيب. وَالْمُرَادُ قِرَاءَةُ جِبْرِيلِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ لَا قِرَاءَةُ اللَّهِ. And the intended meaning is the recitation of Jibreel, peace be upon him, not the recitation of Allah. لَكِنَّهُ أَضَافَ فِعْلَ جِبْرِيلِ إِلَيْهِ لِأَنَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ. But he just ascribed the action to himself because it was done by his order, right? وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَهُ بِهِ. And he is the one who sent him with that Qur'an. إِذَنْ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ. Then the meaning of this verse here in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, we are closer to it, the jugular vein, than you are. يعني مَلَائِكَتَهُ أَقْرَبُ. يعني مَلَائِكَتُهُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ. That his angels, our angels, are closer to it than you. Right? لِأَنَّهُمْ حَضَرُوا لِقَبْضِ الرُّوحِ. They came to take the soul. وَاللَّهُ تَبَارَكْ وَتَعَالَىٰ قَدْ حَفِظَ الْإِنسَانَ فِي حَيَاتِهِ وَبَعْدَ مَمَاتِهِ. And Allah, the Blessed and Most High, preserves mankind during his life, and he preserves mankind after his death, his soul after his death. Right? فَفِي حَيَاتِهِ هُنَاكَ مَلَائِكَةٌ يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. During his lifetime, there are angels preserving mankind, right, from the order of Allah Ta'ala. وَبَعْدَ مَمَاتِهِ. And after his death, مَلَائِكَةٌ يَقْبِضُونَ الرُّوحِ. There are angels that take the soul. وَيَحْفَظُونَهَا. And they preserve it. لَا يُفَرِّطُونَ فِيهَا إِطْلَاقًا. They have no negligence or no carelessness at all in how they take care of those souls. فَهُمْ قَرِيبُونَ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ. So they are very close, or they are close to the dying person. وَلَكِنَّنَا نَحْنُ لَا نُبِصِرُهُمْ. However, it is us that we do not see them. لِأَنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ عَالَمٌ غَيْبِي لَا يُرَوْنَ. Because the angels, they are a being or a realm of beings from the whole realm of the unseen, and they are not seen by human beings. One brief point here about the Arabic point about when you say someone ordered something, and therefore his servant or his representative actually went and did it, but the order goes back to the one who ordered it. It's very well known with presidents, leaders, governmental leaders. So we say, who put money towards education? We'll say governor so-and-so or president so-and-so, right? But who really did it? Actually, a secretary is the one who wrote the check or made sure the money got where it was going. He just ordered it, and there were people carrying out those orders. But in the end, who's the credit given to? The one who gave the order. In Islamic history, we have the gathering of the Quran into one mushaf after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was impossible in his lifetime because the ayats were coming down. There could be no one mushaf with another verse that just came down. You have to rewrite the whole thing. So now that the revelation stopped, the first Khalifa, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, ordered that Zayd ibn Thabit sit in the masjid and collect the pages and the recitations of the people and write all of that down into one book. We say when it's all said and done, Rahim Allahu Abu Bakr. May Allah have mercy on Abu Bakr, the first one to gather the mushaf into one book, or the first one to gather the written Quran into one mushaf. Right? Even though you say Zayd ibn Thabit was the one who did the daily work, you know, the footwork, as you call it, or the actual implementation of the order, but who gets credit for it? The one who ordered it, the first Khalifa. So with governmental leaders and people of high status in this life, we see that rule being used not only in Arabic, but within our culture of English language as well, right? We say the new mayor, he's built a new school. Did the mayor go out with a shovel and bricks and start building the school? Or do we mean that the mayor organized for the people to get funded, to have people in place to put the school up like that, right? So we have these kinds of things that we've seen in our own language and culture. طيب. فلولا إن كنتم غير مدينين. And had it not been, or had it been that you are not indebted, تَرْجِعُونَهَا, you would return it, you would send it back. Return what? The soul. You would be able to save this person and save his life. Turn the soul back into the body. أي فَهَلَّا إِن كُنْتُمْ غَيْرَ مَجْزِيِّينَ. The in debt here means, had it not been that you would also be recompensed. أي غَيْر مَبْعُوثِينَ, not to be sent forth after your death. وَمُجَازِينَ, and to be recompensed. عَلَى أَعْمَالِكُمْ, based on your actions. تَرْجِعُونَهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, then you would return it if you were truthful. الجواب لا يمكن. The reality, the answer here is, there is no possibility of doing that. وَحِينَئِذٍ, and in such a case, يَجِبُ أَن تُصَدِّقُوا بِالْبَعْثِ وَالْجَزَى, then it's obligatory to believe in the resurrection and the recompense after death, or the recompense after death. لِأَنَّكُمْ لَا تَقْدِرُونَ عَلَى رَدِّ الرُّوحِ حَتَّى لَا تُجَازَى, because you're not able to repel the soul or put it back in its body so that it would not face recompense for what it's done. You're not able to stop that process. فَأَيْقِنُوا بِالْبَعَثِ, so wake up and understand the resurrection. ثُمَّ قَسَّمَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى ثُمَّ قَسَّمَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى الْمُحْتَضِرِينَ إِلَى ثَلَاثَةِ أَقْسَامٍ. Then Allah Ta'ala goes into the categorizing dead people or dying people at the time of their death into three categories. فَقَالَ فِي الْقِسْمِ الْأَوَّلِ, he said regarding the very first category of people dying, فَأَمَّا إِن كَانَ مِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ, if he was from the مقربين, those drawn close, فَرَوْحٌ وَرَيْحَانٌ وَجَنَّةُ نَعِيمٌ, right, then روح, we're going to look at the word روح, ريحان as well, and gardens of delight, and a garden of delight. Allahumma ja'alna minhum, O Allah, the Shaykh says, make us from them. We say Ameen. وَهُمُ الَّذِينَ أَتَوْا بِالْوَاجِبَاتِ, who are these people? These are the people who complete all of their obligations. وَتَرَكُوا الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ, and they abstain from all of the prohibitions. وَأَتَوْا بِالْمُسْتَحَبَّاتِ, and they have come with the recommended deeds. وَتَنَزَّهُوا عَنِ الْمَكْرُوهَاتِ, and they stayed away from doing disliked deeds as well. They didn't just stop with abstaining from haram things, they avoided as well disliked things. أَيْ أَكْمَلُوا دِينَهُمْ, meaning they completed their practice of their religion. وَالْمُقَرَّبُونَ هُمُ السَّابِقُونَ, and those drawn close, they are the سَابِقُونَ, they are the forerunners. أَلَّذِينَ ذُكِرُوا فِي أَوَّلَ السُّورَ, those that have been mentioned in the very beginning of the surah. وَالسَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ, remember back in the beginning of the surah. أُولَٰئِكَ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. They are the ones who are drawn close. The forerunners, they are the ones who are drawn close. أَسَابِقُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرَاتِ. They are the forerunners who go first into actions of goodness. I mistranslated a phrase a few lines ago. فَأَيْقِنُوا بِالْبَعْثِ فَأَيْقِنُوا from al-yaqeen. Not al-istiqad. أَيْقِنُوا means have certainty. Not wake up to the reality of something. Close in meaning, but have certainty of the resurrection. Not wake up to the reality of the resurrection. طيب. نعم. Then in description of the مقربين, they have روح. What is this روح? فَرَوْحٌ وَرَيْحَانٌ وَجَنَّةُ نَعِيمٌ. They have روح, ريحان, and gardens of delight. اختلف المفسرون رحمهم الله. The scholars of tafsir differed. في قوله فروح. As for regarding the meaning of روح. فقيل فراحة. So they said, some of them said, the meaning is relaxation. روح means relaxation. لأن المؤمن وإن كان يكره الموت لكنه يستريح به. Because the believer, even though he may detest death, through it he gains relaxation. لأنه يبشر عند النزع بروح وريحان. Because at the time of the angel taking his soul, he's being given glad tidings of roh, of relaxation, and reihan. And we'll see what the meaning of reihan is. وَرَبٍ غَيْرِ غَضْبَانٍ. And glad tidings of a Lord that is not angry with him. فَيُسَرُّ وَيَبْتَهِجُ. So he becomes happy, and he becomes overjoyed. وَلَا يَكْرَهُ الْمَوْتَ هِنَا إِذِنْ. And at that time he doesn't detest death once that happens. بَلْ يَجِبُ وَبَلْ يُحِبُّ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. At that time, he loves the meeting with Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. وَهَذَا لَا شَكَّ رَاحَةٌ لَهُ. And of course, this, no doubt, is a relaxation for him. مِنْ نَكَدِ الدُّنْيَا. From the difficulties of life. وَنَصَ بِهَا. And its, you know, ongoing struggle. وَهُمُومِهَا. And its causes of sadness. وَقِيلَ الرَّوْحُ بِمَعْنَى الرَّحْمَةِ. It's also been said that the word roh that he gets at the time of his death is mercy. Roh means rahma. كما قال الله تعالى عن يعقوب عليه السلام, as Allah Ta'ala has said about Ya'qub, or quoting Ya'qub, may Allah's peace be upon him, حين قال لبنيه, when he said to his children, يا بني اذهبوا فتحسسوا من يوسف. Oh, my sons, go and seek some information or find out what's happened with Yusuf, وَأَخِيهِ, and his brother. وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ. And do not give up in the روح of Allah, meaning in the mercy, from the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. أي من رحمته. وَهَذَا الْمَعْنَى أَعَمُّ مِنَ الْأَوَّلِ. This is more expansive than the first meaning. The first meaning is what? Relaxation. The second meaning is mercy. لِأَنَّ الرَّحْمَةَ أَعَمُّ مِنْ أَن تَكُونَ رَاحَةً. Mercy is more all-encompassing than just simply relaxation. أَوْ رَاحَةٌ مَعَ حُصُولِ الْمَقْصُودِ. Or just some relaxation with the mission accomplished. وَإِذَا كَانَ الْمَعْنَى أَعَمَّ كَانَ حَمْلُ الْآيَةِ عَلَيْهِ أَوْلَى. And since the meaning is more all-encompassing, it includes the other opinion, the other position, then considering the ayah to take that meaning is more befitting. That it is relaxation, and that's only one of the many ways that a person receives the mercy of Allah. There are other forms of mercy that a person receives, one of them being relaxation. إِذَن فَرَوْحٌ. Then the meaning of روح is أي رحمة, mercy. وَمِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ الرَّاحَةِ. And from the generality of mercy is raha, relaxation. وَرَيْحَان. رَيْحَان, the basic meaning of رَيْحَان, it's a specific plant, it's an herb called St. John's wort, or basil. There you go, basil. And it's very, very fragrant, very beautiful to smell, right? Very beautiful to smell. The Arabs, they just clip off some leaves of it, and they put it in their car as a deodorant. They just put it on the front or the back windshield, just like lay it out like that. And it becomes a really beautiful, very, very heavy, beautiful smell. It's like it takes over bad odors and everything. Very, very fragrant plant, right? قيل المراد بالريحان. It's been said that the meaning of this ريحان, كل ما يسر النفس, النفس, everything that makes the soul happy, right? وليس خاصا بالريحان, the ra'ihati at-tayyiba, and it's not specific just to that plant, the rayhan that has the beautiful smell. بَلْ كُلُّ مَا فِيهِ رَاحَةُ النَّفْسِ, everything that has that will relax this the person's soul, وَلَذَّتُهَا, and give it pleasure, مِنْ مَأْكُولٍ, of things to eat, وَمَشْرُوبٍ, things to drink, وَمَلْبُوسٍ, things to wear, وَمَنْكُوحٍ, and things to mate with, meaning the maidens in paradise, وَمَشْمُومٍ, and things to smell, فَهُوَ شَامِلٍ, it includes all of these matters, meaning glad tidings of these things to come for the believer. وَقِيلَ الْمُرَادُ بِالْرَيْحَانِ الرَّائِحَةِ الطَّيِّبَةِ كَالْرَيْحَانِ الْمَعْرُوفِ, it's also been said that the meaning of Rayhan in this verse is the well-known Rayhan plant, right? وَالْأَوَّلُ أَشْمَلُ, and so the first meaning mentioned here, that it includes all types of good smells and good tastes and everything that a person would relax with and enjoy, since it's broader in meaning, that it includes the second meaning, and it is, يعني فَتُحْمَلُ الْآيَةُ عَلَيْهِ, then the ayat should be understood in light of this, the first position. وَجَنَّةُ نَعِيمٍ, and a garden of delight, أي جَنَّةُ يُنَعَمُ بِهَا, a garden that he delights in, he enjoys his presence therein. وَهِيَ الدَّارُ الَّتِي أَعَدَّهَ اللَّهُ لِأَوْلِيَائِهِ, it is the abode that Allah has prepared for His believing servants. جَعَلَنَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُمْ, in the text here it says جَعَلَنَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُمْ, may Allah make us from them. We say Ameen. In the actual recording he said جَعَلَنَ اللَّهُ وَإِيَّاكُمْ مِنْهُمْ, may Allah make us and all of you from them. Right? I don't know why they removed that word. That would be a beautiful word to have here in the printed version. So the Shaykh made dua for us reading this book now, meaning he intended everyone that is listening to his lecture and everyone who would benefit from the recordings and so on. And we say Ameen. يَنْعَمُ الْإِنسَانُ فِيهَا بِبَدَنِهِ وَقَلْبِهِ, in the paradise, in the garden, a person delights, he basks about in delight with his body, with his heart. فَهُوَ لَا يَتْعَبْ وَلَا يَنْصَبْ, he doesn't get tired, he doesn't fatigue. وَلَا يُمْرَضْ, he doesn't get ill. وَلَا يَحْزَنْ, he doesn't get sad. وَلَا يَهْتَمُّ وَلَا يَغْتَمُّ, and he doesn't have worries or stress, and he doesn't have sadness. بَلْ هُوَ فِي نَعِيمٍ دَائِمٍ, rather he is in constant delight. وَالدُّنْيَا فِيهَا نَعِيمٌ, and the dunya, this worldly life, has some delights. لَكِنَّهُ نَعِيمٌ مُنَغَّصٌ على حد قول الشاعر, however it is a disappointing, any temporary type of disappointing enjoyment that a person would enjoy in this life, as the give and take, never constant, always fading away, coming and fading away. That's the na'im, that's the joy that we get in this life. As the poet said, فَيَوْمٌ عَلَيْنَا وَيَوْمٌ لَنَا وَيَوْمٌ نُسَاءُ وَيَوْمٌ نُسَرْ, a day against us, a day for us, a day when, you know, bad things are done to us, and a day when we're made happy. Days are just like this. That's just life, right? This worldly life. وَهَكَدَ الدُّنْيَا, and such is this worldly life. إِذَا سُرَّتَ يَوْمًا, if you're made happy one day, فَاسْتَعِدْ لِلْإِسَاءَةِ مِنْ غَدٍ, then prepare to be done bad to, or get the bad end of the stick, as they say, the next day. وَإِذَا أَسَاءَتْ, or إِذَا أَسِئْتَ يَوْمًا, if bad things have happened to you one day, فَقَدْ تَنْعَمُ فِي الثَّانِي, then you could, you know, enjoy delightful things the next day. أَوْ لَا تَنْعَمْ, maybe not, maybe you wouldn't have any delight or anything the next day. أَمَّا الْجَنَّةُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ فَهِيَ دَارُ نَعِيمٍ فِي الْقَلْبِ وَنَعِيمٍ فِي الْبَدَنِ, it is the abode of pleasure, the abode of delight, huh? In one's heart, and the abode of delight with one's body.
وَأَمَّا إِن كَانَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْيَمِينِ, and if he was from the companions of the right, وَهُمُ الَّذِينَ أَتَوْا بِالْوَاجِبَاتِ وَتَرَكُوا الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ, and they are the ones who fulfilled the obligations and left off the prohibited matters. لَكِنَّ فِيهِمْ نَقْصًا فِي الْمُسْتَحَبَّاتِ وَالتَّنَزُّهِ عَنِ الْمَكْرُوهَاتِ, however, they have deficiencies in their performance of recommended deeds and in their staying away from disliked deeds. فَسَلَامٌ أي سَلَامًا. سَلَام meaning peace or security. لَكَ is for you. أَيُّهَا الْمُحْتَضَرُ, you person who is dying. مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْيَمِينِ, مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْيَمِينِ, from the companions of the right. أي أَنْتَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْيَمِينِ, the meaning is you are from amongst the companions of the right hand, of the right, sorry. وَالْمَعْنَى, and the meaning is فَسَلَامٌ لَكَ, so peace be upon you. حَالَ كَوْنِكَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْيَمِينِ, as you are from the people of the right. وَالْأَوَّلُونَ هُمُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ إِلَيْهِمْ, and the forerunners, they are those who are drawn close to them. وَأَصْحَابُ الْيَمِينِ لَا سَابِقِينَ وَلَا مَخْذُولِينَ, as for the companions of the right, then they are not the forerunners, but nor are they the ones who are being left and abandoned on that day, بين بين. They are instead in the middle. لَكِنَّهُمْ نَاجُونَ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ, however, they are safe from punishment. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ, and thus he said, فَسَلَامٌ لَكَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْيَمِينِ, and peace be to you, you're from the companions of the right. وَهَذَا الْقِسْمُ الثَّانِي, and this is the second category of people, of those who are dying. أَمَّا الْقِسْمُ الثَّالِثِ, the third category of a dying person. وَأَمَّا إِنْ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ, and if he was from the rejectors, بالخبر, those who rejected the reports, meaning the reports of Allah and His Messenger, الضالين, those who are astray, في العمل, in their deeds, فلا تصديق ولا التزام, so they did not believe, nor did they adhere to anything. فكل كافر داخل في هذه الآية, so every disbeliever is included in the meaning in this verse. حتى المنافق, as well as the hypocrite. فنزل من حميم, so a hosting of hot boiling water. أي فله نزل من حميم, that he has hosting that is from hot water. والنزل بمعنى ضيافة, نزل means ضيافة, hosting. التي, or the kind of things that are brought to a person when he is being hosted. التي تقدم للضيف, that which is brought to the guest. أول ما يقدم, the first, when he first arrives. فهؤلاء والعياذ بالله, so such people, and refuge with Allah is sought. حظهم هذا النزل, نزل من حميم, their share is this نزل, this, you know, this kind of hosting. Hosting from hosting of hot boiling water. والحميم هو الشديد الحرارة, this حميم is hot boiling water. وتصلية جحيم, and burning in جحيم, the burning of the fire. أي يصلون الجحيم, they'll be made to burn in the fire. فيخلدون فيها, and they'll be placed in there for all of eternity. والجحيم من أسماء النار, and the word الجحيم is from the names of the fire. أعاذنا الله وإياكم منها, may Allah grant us refuge from it, and you as well. إن هذا لهو الحق, لهو حق اليقين. إن هذا لهو حق اليقين, verily this, it is indeed the truth of certainty. أي إن هذا المذكورة لكم, meaning this that has been mentioned to you. وهو انقسام الناس إلى هذه الأقسام الثلاثة, and it is the categorization of people into these three categories. لهو حق اليقين, it is the reality of conviction, the reality that one should have conviction in. أي اليقين, conviction. المتحقق, confirmed. المتأكد, stressed and real. وصدق الله عز وجل, and Allah has spoken the truth. لا يمكن أن يخرج الناس من هذه الأقسام الثلاثة, and no one is able to be excluded from the categorization here of being in one of these three categories. وهم المقربون, and they are those brought near. وَأَصْحَابُ الْيَمِينِ and the companions of the right. وَالْمُكَذِّبُونَ الضَّالُونَ and the deniers who are astray. لَا يُمْكِنْ يَخْرُجُ عَنْ هَذَا people are not able to be outside of these three categories. فَسَبِّحْ بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ الْعَظِيمِ so glorify in the name of your Lord the greatest. سَبِّحْ بِمَعْنَى the meaning of سَبِّحْ بِمَعْنَى نَزِّهْ declare him free of deficiencies. Declare him exonerated. وَالَّذِي يُنَزَّهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَنْهُ that which Allah is exonerated above, and He is the Mighty and Majestic, كُلُّ نَقْصٍ وَعَيْبٍ is every deficiency and fault. أَوْ مُمَاثَلَةٍ لِلْمَخْلُوقِ or being similar to His creation. فَهُوَ مُنَزَّهٌ so He is exalted above, عَنْ كُلِّ نَقْصٍ above every type of deficiency. لِكَمَالِ صِفَاتِهِ due to the completeness and perfection of His attributes. وَعَنْ مُمَاثَلَةِ الْمَخْلُوقِ and He is exalted above being similar to the creation. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى as Allah, the Most High has said, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ there is nothing similar to Him. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ and He is the All-Hearing and the All-Seeing. The 11th ayah of Surah Ash-Shura. وَقَالَ وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ and verily we have created the heavens and the earth and everything between them in 6 days and no fatigue touched us. That's the 38th verse of Surah Qaf. أي من تعب وإعياء in terms of fatigue or difficulty or inability. وَقَوْلَهُ بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ in the name of your Lord. قِيلَ إِنَّ الْبَاءَ زَائِدَ it's been said, meaning the scholars of tafsir, some of them have said, that the ba, the letter ba in bismi rabbik, is additional, meaning not having any essential foundational meaning in the sentence. وَأَنَّ الْمَعْنَى سَبِّحِسْمَ رَبِّكْ glorify the name of your Lord. That's the intended meaning. كَمَا قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى as Allah, the Most High, has said, سَبِّحِسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى glorify the name of your Lord, the Most High. وَقِيلْ and it's also been said, إِنَّهَا لَيْسَتْ بِزَائِدَ it is not an additional letter, meaning not having any serious operation or function in the sentence. وَأَنَّ الْمَعْنَى سَبِّحِ اللَّهَ بِاسْمِهِ and the meaning is exonerate Allah or glorify Allah بِاسْمِهِ by or through His name. فَلَا بُدَّ مِنَ النُّطْقِ بِالتَّسْبِيحِ so then in this case, you must pronounce a tasbih, declaring Allah above and beyond deficiency. فَتَقُولُ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ and so you say, glorified be Allah. أَمَّا لَوْ نَزَّهْتَهُ بِقَلْبِكَ فَهَذَا لَا يَكْفِي as for you, declaring Him or considering Him to be exonerated and free of deficiencies within your heart, then that's not sufficient. فَعَلَى هَذَا تَكُونُ الْبَاءُ لِلْمُصَاحَبَةِ يعني سَبِّحِ اللَّهَ تَسْبِيحًا مَسْحُوبًا بِاسْمِهِ meaning, glorify Allah, the ba here means it goes along with something, يعني glorify Allah with a tasbih, with a glorification that is accompanied with His name, bismihi, bismi rabbika al-azim, bismi rabbika al-azim. Naam, in the name of your Lord the Great. Ar-Rabbu huwa al-Khaliq al-Malik al-Mudabbir. The Lord, that is your Lord, the Lord who is the Creator. The owner, the ultimate owner, the sovereign king and lord and owner of everything, al-mudabbir, the maintainer and the planner of all things that take place, wal-azim dhul-azama, and the name al-azim includes greatness, wal-jalal, and like majesty, jalla wa'ala, the majestic and most high. And this ends the tafsir of the Shaykh, and the note that I believe I mentioned in our first session about the importance of this surah and how inclusive it is and how beautiful of a surah it is based on the kinds of themes that it includes. I believe I read that in the beginning of the tafsir, and there's no problem to read it again here. It is his statement here at the end, on the bottom of page 355. He said, هَذِهِ السُّورَةِ This surah, لَوْ لَمْ يَنْزِلْ فِي الْقُرْآنِ إِلَّا هِيَ Had nothing of the Qur'an been sent down except it, لَكَانَتْ كَافِيَةً فِي الْحَثِ عَلَى فِعْلِ الْخَيْرِ It would have been sufficient as an encouragement to do good, وَتَرْكِ الشَّرِّ And to leave off evil. فَقَدْ ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي أَوَّلِهَا Verily Allah mentioned in the beginning of it, meaning in the beginning of the surah, يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ The day of judgment. إِذَا وَقَعَتِ الْوَاقِعَةِ When the inevitable event happens and occurs. ثُمَّ قَسَّمَ النَّاسَ فِيهَا إِلَى ثَلَاثَةِ أَقْسَامٍ Then he categorized the people into three categories. السَّابِقُونَ وَأَصْحَابُ الْيَمِينَ The forerunners and the companions of the right. وَأَصْحَابُ الشِّمَالِ And the companions of the left. ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ فِي آخِرِهَا Then in the end of the surah, Allah mentioned, حَالَ الْإِنسَانِ عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ The situation of a person at the time of death. وَقَسَّمَ كُلَّ النَّاسِ And he divided or categorized all of the people إِلَى ثَلَاثَةِ أَقْسَامٍ Into three categories. مُقَرَّبُونَ Those brought near. وَأَصْحَابُ يَمِينَ Those companions of the right. وَمُكَذَّبُونَ ضَالُونَ And the rejectors, the astray rejectors. وَكَذَلِكَ ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ فِيهَا And similarly, or also Allah mentioned in it, in this surah, ابْتِدَاءُ الْخَلْقِ فِي قَوْلِهِ And he mentioned the beginning of the creation in his statement, أَفَرَأَيْتُم مَا تُمْنُونَ Have you seen that which you emit as semen? أَأَنْتُمْ تَخْلُقُونَهُ Is it you that creates it? أَمْ نَحْنُ الْخَالِقُونَ Or is it us that is the creator of it? وَالرِّزْقُ مِنْ طَعَامٍ And the provisions of food, وَشَرَابٍ And drink, وَمَا يُصْلِحُهُمَا And things that will cause the food and the drink to be wholesome or to be correct or to be produced properly. فَهِيَ سُورَةٌ مُتَكَامِلَةٌ All of those things mentioned. It is a surah that is complete in the way it approaches these topics. وَلِهَذَا And thus, يَنْبَغِي لِلْإِنسَانِ It is befitting or it is binding on a person. أَنْ يَتَدَبَّرَهَا إِذَا قَرَأَهَا That he contemplated when he reads it. كَمَا يَتَدَبَّرُ سائر القرآن As he contemplates and thinks carefully about the rest of the Qur'an, لكن هي اشتملت على معاني عظيمة However, this surah specifically carries some great meanings, tremendous meanings. والله الموفق And Allah is the one who grants success. And with that, we've reached the very end of our tafsir of surah Al-Waqi'ah. And we thank Allah Ta'ala for this, you know, blessed opportunity to study from the words of one of the greatest of our scholars, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. We ask him alone to bless the Shaykh, to have mercy on him, to allow the Muslims to gain benefit from his legacy that he left behind. We thank Allah Ta'ala for all of our scholars. We thank Allah Ta'ala for these opportunities to come together and learn the Book of Allah together. And thus we need to thank Allah Ta'ala for all of those who have a part in conveying these lessons to the people. And so we thank our beloved administration at Al-Masjid Al-Awwal, the first Muslim mosque here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. As we also thank our beloved brothers who administer and maintain the Mirath Publications English Radio. May Allah Ta'ala grant them success and blessed continuous efforts, pure and beloved to Allah. Allahumma ameen. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to reward the two administrations that we mentioned and all of those who gather together online to listen to these sessions. May Allah Ta'ala grant you all an increase in blessings in your family, in your wealth, in your knowledge, and in your practice. We hope that our gatherings here, studying the tafsir of this tremendous surah, have been beneficial for all of those who have taken part. And I personally have just felt an incredible, incredible love for this surah and for the meanings in this surah, and an amazing attachment to this surah specifically, more so, you know, more than any other surah that we've read in this similar fashion. But this surah has an amazing impact on a person, subhanAllah. As the Shaykh was saying, there's something special about this surah. It is indeed amazing in its simplicity and in its complexity somehow, that it mentions people in three categories a number of times. And yet, that simple categorization of people into three categories is tremendously effective. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us from the Muqarrabeen, As-Sabiqeen, those who are forerunners and those who are brought near to Allah Ta'ala. We ask Allah Ta'ala to make us from them, reminding you with what is the sunnah of our Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when virtues are mentioned, that we talked about the Muqarrabun, those drawn near, and we talked about Ashabu al-Yameen, the companions of the right, who have a reward and they have a virtue less than that first group. So when we read about these two groups, do we say, O Allah, put us in either one you choose? Or do we say, O Allah, make us from the first group? I remind you that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us that if we ask Allah for paradise, that we ask for what? Al-Firdaus, we ask for the highest and most virtuous and best places in paradise, Al-Firdaus. So with that, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us from Al-Muqarrabeen, make us from those drawn near, As-Sabiqeen, make us from those who are forerunners to good and into leaving off of evil. We ask Him by His beautiful names to grant us that and to forgive us for our sins. And until the next surah, I'll leave you with the greeting of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.